We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
105.3 FM HD2. WWL Radio in New Orleans. 105.3
We're
FM,
dancing
HD2.
Up and in the food show, y'all. Actually, I am.
And it's here on the weekend and getting ready for it anyhow.
Getting ready for the weekend.
And talking about food and restaurants and cooking and wine and restaurants and cooking and all that. We'd love to hear from you. We've been talking with Allie,
yes,
who with whom I have shamed all sorts of notes. Not shamed. I have
shared. That's
shared,
what you meant.
Shared. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Some thoughts about the holidays, the water that we drink. Believe it or not, some people do. The wines, the cocktails, the food that we cook at home, the food we don't cook at home. And this is going to seem strange, but
Nash.
Nash Roberts.
We still want to know if somebody got a tree out of Nash Roberts.
I want to see if you ever got a Christmas tree at Nash Roberts. He had like a big like semi forest, mm-hmm, where he raised these things.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to have ever bought one from him, but if you ever went over to his house, tell me about that, because I'm mainly because I'm surprised that no one has called, and because it used to be that if you said the words
Nash Roberts,
they'd say, is a hurricane coming? You know, really?
Wait, is that the same as like the Steve guy, Steve Cantrell, or the okay? There's the weather guy. There's the weather guy that always shows up when there's a hurricane coming. You know who I'm talking about? And everybody starts panicking.
But that's what Nash Roberts did.
Locally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
uh-huh,
he was no fool. He was not somebody who was like reading an almanac or something like that.
Right.
He really knew what he was doing.
Right.
Way ahead of his time. But anyway, I thought we could certainly get a couple of people to call us, 260-6368, about that, because you can also eat your snacks while you're watching television or listening to the radio, right? Isn't that what you were getting at? No, probably not.
Well, I had a poll before we went to break.
A poll. Okay.
And Tom's going to tell us how to do the good version of this. All right. I think milk punch is the lazy man's version, now that I've heard Tom talk about it, because first of all, I've never made my own eggnog. But the poll is, are you an eggnog person or a milk punch person? And you know what? Alan, if you're out there not teaching class right now, I know you have an opinion on this, Alan. Okay, so are you a milk punch person or are you an eggnog person? And Tom, you were telling us how to make the eggnog and what you have to do, but like can you tell us like the high notes of what?
Yeah, the basically the thing you're trying to do is to do
a double broiler,
but you don't bring it up anywhere near to broiling. This is barely breaking a simmer off the top. And when you make that, you are going to have just wisps of foam.
Why do you need the double broiling method?
Because it'll set.
You'll overcook the egg.
Yeah,
it'll
just tighten up. And it'll be
It'll be egg
on the way to Jell-O.
Okay,
we don't want that.
Okay,
even if you like Jell-O.
Maybe David on the phone knows about.
Maybe so. Let's find out
about Nash Roberts.
David, welcome to the food show. Is that you?
Yeah. Hi, Tom. It's been a while.
Hi. Thank you. I'm glad you called today. It's a perfect day for
calling
it.
About Nash Roberts. I just tuned in, but I assume you're talking about the very same Nash Roberts who was the guru of all things.
David,
weather,
you're the
right?
Rock
Does he
star.
Also have a Christmas tree lot?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He did.
He did. He had beyond just a lot of Christmas trees, he had huge numbers of them. And it was just north of
Covington.
And he was ready to go, and everybody would walk in there just smiling ear to ear and having a lot of fun getting their And he went on much longer than he really wanted to, because it was a you might not realize this, but there's a lot of work that goes into tending to Christmas trees. And he just, you know, one day said, OK, that's enough of this, and moved on and retired from everything. But he was an interesting guy. I've met him a number of times. He used to be on our radio station.
Yeah, I'm too young to remember when he was on air regularly, but I'm old enough to remember that when there was a serious hurricane coming, they would trot him out, and he would appear on the television, and you knew something serious was happening because they had brought Nash back.
That's exactly the story.
Yeah, and he did that for a couple of years, and then but I never knew he had a Christmas tree farm. That's interesting. Was it a chop-your-own-down type of place? Or?
No, he would cut them for you.
Oh, wow, that's the best. You'd go there and he cuts them down for you.
You'd say, you know, give me this one here, and they'll negotiate a price for it, and then he'd drop it, put it on top of your car or wherever, and then take it home, and then you'd put it up, and your big whiner in your family will start complaining that the tree wasn't exactly perfect.
Is that where you got your trees as a family for a while?
We actually did get one of them once. Not that there was anything wrong with it, but you could tell he was about ready to move on. And I think there's a what do you call them? It was areas that had been redone, and you know, houses are there now. A lot of it, yeah.
The subdivision.
The subdivisions. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right.
Oh, cool story. All right. Well, happy holidays to the both of you, and I'm enjoying being able to get back listening to you again.
Well, good. Thank you for calling.
All right. Bye bye.
It's the food show as we continue to move all over the. That's part of the family.
He died in 2010.
Who?
Nash.
He did.
Yeah.
How'd you find that out? That's pretty good.
I just looked it up.
No kidding.
I just looked it up, and I think he was the proprietor of this Christmas tree farm I'm going to.
There you go.
But it sold off.
Oh.
Obviously. So Country Pines, that's what I'm looking at. Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Welcome, Gregory.
So, you know, so much for that. That only took
Country
about...
Country Pines is the Christmas tree farm I'm going to. And I think he was the proprietor of that, and then he sold it off.
Yeah, I would believe that.
Okay, that makes sense.
Well, that only took an hour and 27 minutes, but that's okay. It's, you know, we're here just for fun. Let's see, who's on hold here? We have somebody.
Gregory.
Gregory. Gregory, welcome to The Food Show.
Hey, Tom. Hello, Allie. How are you?
I'm well, Gregory. And yourself?
Oh, boy, do I remember Nash Robert.
Oh, when you saw him on television, you know there was trouble a-coming.
Well, even on the regular days when he had his little mark slot, I was a kid, you know, before they had all these fancy gadgets and GPS and satellites. Yeah, he was. That's how old I am, anyway. 57, looking at 58. But certainly a big part of my childhood. But you know that he was actually a war hero, and he never, never, never took, he
credit.
Didn't like
accolades for it.
Credit. Not only was he a weather forecaster for the United States Navy, of course, me being a Navy man, retired, very, very fond of the Navy. He was a weather forecaster way before we had satellites. They used to have weather balloons, and they would actually have ships out at sea that were these light ships that would go out and try to get barometric pressures and stuff like this. Not only was he responsible for D-Day, he was one of the major weathermen during the D-Day invasion. After D-Day was a success, he ended up in the Pacific and forecasted weather for all the many other D-Days and all those little Japanese islands that we retook.
Huh, imagine that. I didn't know that.
I didn't know
Absolutely.
That either. You know, what
it's
other place are you going to hear stuff like this?
Nowhere.
It's a little known
Nowhere.
Because he never bragged about it. He was a very humble guy. I got to meet him many times growing
Did
up.
Did you buy a Christmas tree from him, Gregory?
No, we never went up there to get his Christmas trees, but I knew about it. I certainly did know about it. You know, we were solid Lakeview Menory people, and we bought our Christmas trees at a vacant lot next to Durignac back then.
Yeah,
But they were real trees, and we always had to have a Scotch pine, and I loved the way it made the house smell. And we always kept it watered. My brother, sister, and I would take turns keeping it watered, so it would be all, you know, lush and green. And we would keep it way past the first of the year, maybe about, you know.
You make it a Mardi Gras tree?
No. We would certainly take it down before then, but it had to be a real tree and was always put up right after Thanksgiving, and it made the house smell so good. Mm-hmm. Nash Roberts was a unique individual, extremely intelligent.
Yes.
And just totally devoted to his wife. I think his wife and him had been married like 75 years by the time
wow.
he died.
Oh, God, I mean, is anybody married 75 years anymore? Goodness.
Well, they were. And, Tom, do you remember his little-known little brother, Ep Roberts?
I do remember that. In fact, exactly. I have a story behind it.
Okay, I'm interested.
I was asked.
I bought telescopes from him. He had a telescope shop in Fat City back in the day, right?
It exactly was. He was in the same building where Wise Cafeteria was.
Cafeteria?
Wise Cafeteria. Long story. But anyway, but Ep Roberts, he was in the business also of in selling telescopes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's where we bought our telescopes. He was also a meteorologist and actually was on TV, but not half as long as Nash was.
Yeah.
But he would fill in. But, you know, Nash worked for all of the big three at one time. He worked for WWL as well as WDSU, and he also worked for WGNO. Well, it wasn't WGNO. What was it? I can't remember.
WGNO, anyway, WDSU.
WDSU is the other one.
Yeah. Yeah. But he was really on WDSU for probably the longest. And then he had quite a long career at WWL. And it was funny because, you know, back then, you know, didn't have the technology that we have.
No.
And he would be on the air with, there used to be a sportscaster back then. I know you don't like sports, Don, but it was Hap Glotty.
Hap Glotty, a Jesuit boy. So I can talk about him just fine.
Oh, yeah. Talking about it. And they would banter on a bit on the air back then. And this is way before any kind of graphic technology this was like he actually used a marks a lot to write his weather map.
Yeah, that's right.
Right in front of you.
Oh, yeah. God, I'm going to embarrass myself. What's a marks a lot?
No. Anyway, but I did know about his Christmas tree farm, but, you know, in those days when I was growing up, I mean, that was just, you know, that was just too far away from us. There was that lot next to Durignac. That's where we got it.
Well, can you share one of your favorite Christmas holiday traditions that made things special for you, Gregory, or a comfort food that made things special
absolutely.
For you?
Absolutely. Christmas traditions would be everybody. My father was from a rather large family, and most of them had moved away. His sisters, especially, you know, to get married, and my only uncle, my dad's brother, was a lifetime Marine, 38, maybe 39 years in Marine Corps. He lived way out in San Diego. Kind of one of the reasons why I joined the Navy. But our tradition, no matter what, when everybody came home to Lakeview on West End Boulevard and the old family home, and everybody knew what to do to help Grandma, my old Grandma Esther, God bless her. She was a terrific woman. She wasn't a local. She was originally from San Antonio. She decided to move to New Orleans to marry my grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
But she brought a lot of traditions from San Antonio Christmas. And then my grandfather's side of the family brought a lot of Midwestern traditions to New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids being, you know, my dad's brothers and sisters brought out a lot of New Orleans traditions. So it was everybody coming home, and it was all the cousins being together and all the aunts and uncles that you only got to see maybe once or twice a year. Because my father and his other sister were the only ones that stayed in New Orleans out of the family. And then, of course, you know, I have brother and sister. But the dishes that would come out of the different parts of the country were, there is a lot of traditions. There was definitely always, there was at least four different dressings or stuffing. I'm telling
you.
Okay,
yep.
At least four different. And there was always a big ham. We didn't know about Tom's root beer glaze then. So it was just like
that would have got made if it was.
Pineapple and cherries on it. And then there was, of course, a couple of Tom turkeys, you know, roasted, and there would be crown rib roast. That was the North Carolina people. I can't remember. Yeah, it was tradition.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, it doesn't happen anymore.
Yeah, it was called a crown roast. Oftentimes,
that's it.
And the way it was put on the page or on the big platter. And it looked,
and
it actually did
all
look
the
like.
Had boots on it.
Yeah.
It had little white paper boots on it.
It was pretty interesting. All right. Thanks for calling and
thanks, Gregory.
See you later.
Nice talking with you.
We will come back with more of the food show in a moment. But first, if you will, this.
And the way the sunlight shines on your hair.
I hear the sound of the church bells ring. The anxious chasing in the air.
No, I'm
kicking
about
awkward
good
vibrations.
She's
with me
at
just
kindation.
I get to know the penetration. Get to the
oh, my God.
That's
oh
about
my
as bad
God.
As we
oh
are.
Oh, man, you know.
Makes you want to slit
I'm never
going to
do this again, you know. Never, ever do this again.
We're sorry, and we really ought to apologize.
In the meantime, I have Tom, the gourmet pilot, who has graced us with his presence.
Tom,
thank you for saving us, Tom.
Tom, the gourmet pilot. A pilot? We're talking about a pilot on the river? Oh, a 740? Oh, that Tom.
Hey, Tom. Welcome.
Tom is a former captain on a in a 747.
A Boeing? A Boeing 747?
Well, you know, I think you still have something pretty safe on that.
Yeah. Tom.
Tom, welcome.
It's not Tom. It's Tommy. I'm still a young boy.
I'm terribly sorry to beat that out of you.
Well, since this has become the Christmas tree show instead of the food show today.
Oh, come on now. We've been talking about food.
You know, it's not every week.
I have a Christmas tree story for you.
Oh, good.
Thank
Let's hear
you,
it.
Thank you, Tommy.
Back when I lived in Reston, Virginia, in December of 1971, we went out into the Virginia countryside a few weeks before Christmas, and we cut a beautiful tree and brought it home and decorated it. That time we lived in a split-level house where the main living was on the street level, but the yard back down to having a basement with an apartment, a bedroom and all that sort of stuff down below.
Mm-hmm.
So we had this tree up, and it was just magnificent. And so being good New Orleanians, we felt compelled to undecorate it on Twelfth Night. So we took all the decorations, all the lights off of it, but it still hadn't lost a needle. So we kept it up in the house like a big house plant. And we finally, in March, we got kind of tired of the fact that we had to move the furniture around and we had this giant house plant in the living room.
I'm loving every
so,
bit of this.
So I took it out and I took it off the balcony and threw it down into the backyard below. It still hadn't lost a needle.
Wow.
So I had a post hole digger, so I dug a pole in the backyard and put the trunk of this thing into the hole and straightened it up. Well, we sold the house in July of 1972 to move back to New Orleans, and it still hadn't lost a needle, and birds had made a nest in it.
Oh.
It looked as good as the day that we cut it down in the forest.
Imagine.
I love this.
I have no idea whether it's still there or what's happened to it, but this was a remarkable tree. This was 7 months after being cut down, and it had not lost one needle.
That almost seems impossible.
That does.
I believe you, but it seems impossible.
Well, you want me to go to Manresa and tell a story, and maybe I'll get...
you can't get in.
Canonized or beatified or something?
No, you can't get in, hardly. It's really hard. No, I'm serious. It's very difficult to get in.
If I can tell a miracle, Tom, they'll let me in. I mean, the miracle of the dead Christmas tree that lives to this day.
That's right.
Imagine that.
It rose from the dead is exactly what happened to your Christmas tree. It rose from the dead. St. Thomas.
I'll have to go back to 10901 Hunt Club Road in Reston, Virginia, and ask the people if they've let me in the backyard to see if the tree's still there.
Tommy, I love it. Thank you for sharing that. That's great.
Yeah. It was fun. Yeah. Okay, you guys have a fun show.
Thank you so much, Tommy.
We're trying. All right,
okay.
See you later.
Bye,
it's the food show. Ron has joined us over here on the green phone.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing? Ron, the gourmet waiter.
Hi, there he is. What are we doing? How are we doing it? We have been talking about everything that you could possibly imagine between how to begin a day of hard work.
We're talking about holiday traditions.
Traditions of holidays of various kinds.
Ron, how are you?
I'm doing great. I'm going to tell you a short story, if that's okay. It's a radio story that has food in it.
Oh, okay.
We lost a great guy this morning. His name was Earl Bernhardt.
Rings a bell.
Earl was the founder of Tropical Isle and also Orleans Grapevine.
Oh, really? No kidding. New Orleans Grapevine, is this the place in the quarter?
Yeah, on Orleans Avenue. Or,
yeah, Orleans right off of Royal Street.
Yeah, Earl was a radio guy in Hattiesburg, and the 1984 World's Fair was coming up. And Earl had a business partner in radio, and they decided that they were going to come down here and open up a bar at the World's Fair in 1984. So Earl and his buddy opened up Tropical Paradise at the World's Fair.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, they did okay, and then after the fair was over, they decided they were going to give it a try in the French Quarter. So they were on Toulouse Street right off Bourbon, and they opened up Tropical Paradise, but they decided to rename it and call it Tropical Isle.
Yeah.
So at Tropical Isle, Earl bought his business partner out, and then there was a bartender there named Pam Fortner, who later became his business partner. So at that point, they decided that they were going to come up with a signature drink. And that's where the hand grenade was invented.
The hand grenade. You know, I
had one of those once, and it knocked me on my butt.
Is it really as much as all that?
You know, the tourists like it because it's a very, very strong drink, but it's kind of sweet and sour at the same time.
Yeah.
Anyway, I wanted to tell the story because Earl told me that when he was in Hattiesburg in radio, he said they had more advertisers than they had space. So you'd have to wait to get your commercials on the air.
Imagine that.
We've
actually had that happen over here at times, believe it or not.
That's awesome. Anyway, so we lost. His name was Earl Bernhardt. He was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi.
Yep.
And the reason why I love Earl so much was I was a waiter at Orleans Grapevine. And Earl came up to me one night, and he gave me the best compliment I have ever had as a waiter.
Yeah? And what's that?
He looked at me, and he said, "You're the best."
Well, that's pretty good.
Straight to the point.
I sat there, looked at him, and I was speechless. I said, "Thank you, Earl." I turned around and walked away. I'll never forget that.
That's a great story, Ron. I love hearing
is
things
this
like
Allie?
That. Yes, it is.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
Good. I'm walking to work, so I wasn't really listening. I just wanted to call in and tell the story about Earl.
I think it's great. This show is what it's about. It's preservation of stories like that. And that's why I love listening to this show, is because I'm going to pick stuff up like that I'm not going to get anywhere else.
Gee, I wish I had some of those to tell. What?
Tom, there was an article on NOLA.com this week, earlier in the week.
Yeah.
And it was about all of the lost restaurants. I thought that would be a good read for you. You should look that up. I know you know most, if not all, of these.
Yeah, he does.
I wrote a couple of those myself.
It would
myself
also make for some,
this
it
week.
It would also make some great trivia for Tom.
Oh, yeah. Well, we never get tired of that.
Give us clues and let us guess who's who.
Ooh, I like that.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, Ron.
We'll have to call him and set it up.
You ought to print that article out and make us guess, Tom. Give us some clues and make us guess.
I like it. Thank you, Ron.
All right. Anyway, great show as always. Thanks for taking the call. You'll have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Bye.
See
ya.
It's the food show I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and is our program sponsored today by New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company? It is. Okay. Well, let's since we have a little bit of time here, not a lot to kill, but I'll tell you, first of all, we're talking about two different things. We have New Orleans hamburger. Mm. We also have New Orleans seafood.
Yes.
Here's what else you have. You have expansion of both of those things. I remember the hamburger most because I remember when they first opened. It was in the 1980s. I'm pretty sure. And what they did that was different was to make a hamburger that was, first of all, quite a bit bigger than most people were used to having, just normally, without spending a big bunch of money. They did not have that going on at New Orleans Hamburger. But then it continued with this juicy, juicy interior, crustiness on the outside. This is exactly what I like in a hamburger. So there they are doing that. They continue to do it to this day. A couple of extras, though. Would you believe grilled oysters?
What better than a hamburger and char-grilled oysters?
You can get them in at New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company. And then we get into the main seafood, mostly catfish, but they have shrimp and many other things, too. All fresh, all prepared to order, waiting for you, nice and crusty, no excess of oil or oils that haven't been changed in too long. They're really on top of that over at New Orleans Hamburger. This is something they really pay attention to. So give them a whirl if you haven't. They have 10 locations around town, New Orleans Hamburger and Seafood Company, and 7 days a week. Oh, and one more thing. Ask them about their barbecue shrimp. They have them on hand.
Yummy.
No problem. They're good stuff. We'll come back with more of The Food Show after first, if you will, this. It's The Food Show. This is Tom Fitzmaurice. I've just been asked, when do we put up our Christmas tree
here
at the Cool Water Ranch?
Mm-hmm.
It depends on who's in town and who wants to do it. Who's in town includes my son. Mm-hmm. And his grandson, his son. So, and obviously we want to do the Christmas tree while they're in town. Mm-hmm. However, they live in Los Angeles.
Yes.
So this has always been a problem for us. But, so that's when we do it. Or if we just have some friends over, it's not as soon as it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
There also has been one major change in my Christmas tree, and that is, there are no longer any bubble lights on the tree.
What are bubble lights?
Oh, you've never seen bubble lights?
What are bubble lights?
They're little tubes of glass.
Uh-huh.
And they're sort of like what looks like the thing that sticks out of the top of a flower.
Okay.
A little stalk there.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And it would be, you would plug this in, and it would have this liquid running up that stalk there.
Okay.
And the stuff is hot enough. It's not really hot, but it's hotter than your typical light bulb.
Okay.
And the liquid in there would actually boil.
Mm-hmm.
And then it rises to the top, and then it recondenses again.
Okay.
And then it goes back up again.
Okay.
And it comes back down. And it'll just do that ad infinitum. And so we always put that in, except
Maybe the girls don't like it anymore.
They told me that one.
Oh, okay.
They don't want to hear it.
Well,
anymore.
You know, that is our prerogative to change our minds.
It certainly is. Now, you said you were going to do some brownies for us?
I am, but first I would like to give you a restaurant report.
Oh, please do.
Okay, so yesterday after the show.
Yep.
That was a lively one, y'all.
I'll say.
We did a great job. I love doing this show with you, Tom. Okay, we went to Criollo in the Monte Leon.
Yep.
And I'm going to go out here right now, and I hope somebody calls in and backs me up, 260-6368. It is easily the most neglected yet remarkable restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
People don't think of it often, and they don't think of it often enough. But for the last 3 years, I have done their Revillon menu, and they have knocked it out of the park.
I really believe that. It has always been like that. They have had a few periods where they kind of slipped what they were doing.
They were struggling a little bit.
They were, but then they came back with a major renovation about, I'm going to say, about 7 years ago.
Okay.
And it was just a perfect match. It was right location, great kind of food, interesting things going on,
carousel ball.
Carousel and all the drinks from that. Mm-hmm. And it's a terrific restaurant.
Well, let me set the stage for you.
All right, go right ahead.
Okay, and I am one, just as Marianne is, I like ambiance. I like ambiance.
Well, you went to the right person.
I did. I went to the right place. So walked in. It's just lit up for Christmas. Trees everywhere. Decor everywhere. So that's just the visual look from the outside, right? Because it's bustling around there. And you've got all the people honking and people on the street. And so there's the busyness of it. And I kind of like that. It almost becomes a song of its own out there if you listen hard enough for it. But then we walk in and you immediately hear, as you look to your right where the carousel bar is going, a live piano player.
Yep.
Christmas carols, stuff of his own, trees lit up, decor. Mm. Oh, okay, so I'm going to tell this and then we'll go to Chef. So it was gorgeous and it was inviting and it seemed so in the spirit. And I was loving every minute of it. But I'll tell you all more about that because I want to hear what's going on with Chef.
It's a visit from Chef Andrea.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Andrea.
How are you?
I'm the same old guy doing the same old things. You know how it goes?
How are you, Chef?
Wonderful, Holly. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm so glad to talk to both of you, and it's a pleasure, honor, to talk one of my favorite language, cooking, drinking.
It really is that way, isn't it? If you sit down and eat some great food, drink some great wine, the next thing you know, you have new friends.
Absolutely.
Always.
It's really wonderful. So,
Chef, I'm curious about your Revillon menu.
It's a great Revillon menu, and we're very proud of it. We've been doing it for several years, and one of the dishes in the menu, we have quite a few appetizers and then some wonderful dessert, the main entree. One of my favorites is a beautiful escargot, lumaque. It's a wonderful style, lightly sauteed provençale. It's very nice. That's outstanding. The other one I like, the Angelo smoked salmon, flame with the vodka. This dish I did it many, many years ago for the Wine and Cheese International when I was downtown. And it's topped with a Chupi caviar. This is a really great caviar aging from my backyard. So really, they do a wonderful job here in New Orleans, in Louisiana. The Chupi caviar is really outstanding. And then this time of the year, it's a wonderful, this wild mushrooms we call porcini mushroom, make our own ravioli, all our pasta made from scratch, and it's a really great dish that's one of the appetizers. Mm. And then the entree this evening, we have this beautiful fresh pompano came swim to my door. That's Tom's favorite. He loves pompano, and I recommend that very highly. Or you can have a wonderful rotisserie duck. We have a rotisserie came from France. And we put it here about 5-6 years ago in front of the restaurant. When you come in on the right side, it's a beautiful rotisserie. And we put the maple leaf Long Island in there, and we let them cook for about 3.5 to 4 hours, slowly, slowly, slowly. When this duck comes out of there, it's absolutely nice and crispy, juicy inside. Really a mamma mia.
Hey, before you go any further... Can we, let me stop with you on the duck, because the most interesting thing about the duck at Andrea's is that he will make it for you in just about any way you can imagine. And there have been a few that were a little tough to imagine, actually. Give me a quick rundown. I don't expect you to get them all in one thought, but tell us about the duck dishes.
One of my favorite sauces right now, I have a wonderful satsuma. Trees in my backyard. I brought this here, Andrea, who made this wonderful orange sauce, homegrown satsuma orange. They're very nice, very juicy, but very sweet this year.
Oh, they really have been, yeah.
Outstanding. Then the other one I make with the fresh raspberry sauce, I make the one with the black peppercorn cognac sauce.
Yeah.
The other one I make with the plum sauce. Mm, then the other one I make with the fig sauce. So it's really, I love a good sauce, but I put them underneath on the plate, and then I put the crispy duck on top, because I don't like to put the sauce on top of the duck, otherwise ruin the crispness of the duck. So it's really wonderful. But anyway, you like, we'll have to do it.
I've looked down the list, and there's one that I'm sure it's just an overthought, and it's no big deal anyway, but the peppercorn duck.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, that's very good.
We're not wonderful, really outstanding.
And that's on them. That's on the menu every night.
Every day. And, lunch and dinner. If somebody comes tomorrow for lunch, we have that for lunch too. And absolutely. We open 7 days, as you know.
Yeah.
So the same with the ossobuco. Somebody told me the other day, can I have ossobuco? You have ossobuco? I said, I have ossobuco 365, lunch and dinner, for breakfast if you like. All the time. That's one of my guest favorite dishes, Andrea. Veal shank ossobuco milanese. And the other one I do, too, is really I do with the risotto saffron, which is a very delicate.
Oh, God, I love the risotto.
I love that. You do, too, Ollie?
Yes, one of my favorites.
That's great. And then for desserts, we have the tiramisu, and I guess love the coconut cake.
You're speaking to my heart right now.
All fresh from scratch, the pastry, the bakery. We make our own bread, all the pastry from scratch. So we have a nice, wonderful menu. But one thing I like to remember, Tom, Holly, to your listener right now, please make a reservation for Christmas Day. We open all day from 11 o'clock till 8. Christmas Eve, New Year's Eve, we have a wonderful orchestra. Bobby Hall plays here with his own orchestra. Start at 7 o'clock, New Year's Eve, dancing and dinner at Andrea's, champagne at midnight. And so please make a reservation. Don't wait until the last minute. We'll have to
All right.
It.
Well, that's a deal. Well, I hope you have a good weekend, and
absolutely,
we'll be talking to you another day.
Yeah.
It's Andrea's. Forward. They're right across Causeway Boulevard from the mall, Lakeside Mall, and open 7 days a week for lunch and dinner, and also Sunday brunch. And there he is. Andrea's. Give him the phone number.
834-8583 from my home to your home. Molte grazie. Ciao. Arrivederci a tutti. Arrivederci. Ciao.
There he goes.
Andrea. Ciao.
Right, exactly on time. Did you notice that?
Oh.
One of them, they both came in at a perfect, just right on the button.
Right. That's the kind of magic we have going on.
Oh, it's magical, too. You ever see his cookbook?
Who's? Andrea's?
Andrea's cookbook.
I haven't gotten a hold of that.
It's very good, and I've given it to a lot of people.
You know what? I don't think one can have too many cookbooks.
Well, if you want to change your mind about that, come over to my office, and you will find it hard to believe.
Marianne will tell me a different story.
Oh, if I don't have 200 cookbooks in my office, then I have 300.
Oh, man.
It's a lot. But
well, should we go out on a high note tonight and tell everybody about brownies since we're talking about
Yeah. You've been talking about it since we landed, so you may as well.
First of all, I'm going to wrap up my Criollo.
Oh, take your time.
Story.
Yeah. Criollo is the gourmet restaurant of the Monteleone Hotel on Royal Street.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Fire
so
away.
It was absolutely remarkable. Walked in. All dressed up, lights everywhere, live music coming from the piano. Ambiance was just absolutely perfect. And I'll tell you, when I walked in, I was a little worried because we did not make a reservation because we were not yet sure that we were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So just how inviting it is. Truly. I mean, one of the things I really love about a good restaurant is when you walk in, you feel invited as if you were invited into somebody's home.
That would be nice, isn't it?
That's how you're embraced there. So walk in, lit up, great ambiance, feeling the holiday spirit. Walk up, easily are seated next to one of the favorite spots, which is also Marianne's favorite spots. If you can't be outside, she wants to be next to the windows. Because I'm a big people watcher.
Well, you know, they're worth watching. As a matter of fact, I find it hard to think of anything that's more interesting to watch.
So it was intimate. We got seated a two-top next to a window. It was wonderful. And they have, I'm going to go out right now and say confidently, one of the best Ravion menus out right now.
Out right now?
Period. Best Ravion menus.
Oh, and you're asking me or telling me?
I'm telling you.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well,
and
let's
here's
hear it.
Why. I have a criteria.
Yeah.
Options.
Mm-hmm.
I want options.
Many options.
You know what? I'm just going to say this. Don't do Revion. Don't put out a Revion menu if you're not going to give me options. If you only give me one appetizer, one entree, and one dessert, come on. You can do better.
I've hardly ever seen that, although a few places do.
I have gone through all of these menus because I love Revion, mm-hmm. and there are several with only one option in each category. So, okay, Prime are more than one option. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then have seafood and meat options. Okay. Mm-hmm. And the ones that really rank high for me, a soup. Like not just like a gumbo, but like a seasonal mm-hmm. soup. Okay.
I love it.
So I want options. I want a seafood and a meat, and I want a seasonal soup. Enter Criollo. All right.
Ta-da.
Okay. First course, y'all. Grilled lamb rosette and seared scallop
rosette.
Now, with braised turnip greens. That's just one. I'm going to hit you with another one.
Yeah, hit me.
Foie gras stuffed quail.
Oh, that's a natural.
With sun-dried cherry and pistachio chutney. That's two. Here's my second option. We're just started with the first course.
Oh, good.
Third appetizer, frisée of rabbit and sweetbreads. Okay, we're just on the first choice of Criollo menu.
Yeah, kind of wild,
second,
but good.
Acorn squash soup, yes, mm-hmm. to die for. Love it. Heirloom beet salad, love all things beets. We're just into the second course. Here are your third course options from Criollo, and I'll tell y'all what we got.
Go.
Roasted goose and spiced pears. Okay. Grilled venison noisette, which Tom's going to tell us about, because I didn't know about it. I was like, Tom, what is this? Lamb Navarin.
Mm-hmm.
And then their fourth. They have four options in their third course. Poipette. Am I saying that correctly? P-A-U-P-I-E-T-T-E. Poipette. Flounder.
Papillette.
Yeah. Okay. They have four options in the entree menu. Mm-hmm. They have two options in like a appetizer. Then they have three options in the first course. And then so here's the fourth course. Bouche de Noël, coffee vanilla genois, cocoa butter cream, raspberry, love everything raspberry, and Gâteau Saint-Honoré. Forgive me, y'all.
Honoré.
Tom's the expert here. Hazelnuts. Verona chocolate mousse. This is Criollo. I'm going to tell y'all right now, if you are looking for a Revion menu to go to tonight, hit up Criollo.
Sounds perfect.
Oh, my gosh.
And it has been, just for those who might doubt that, but it really has been very consistently good.
They were welcoming. They were warm. The ambiance was on point. The music was fantastic. The wait staff was great. They were excellent. That's my report of Criollo.
That's what you go out looking for and you hope for.
So I encourage everybody to check that one. It's an absolute winner. And you know what? I went there last year and I almost told Kyle. I told my husband. I said, I don't know if we should go again. But then I started reading the menu. He's like, we got to go.
You know, there's one aspect of this that never seems to come up, but I'm going to make it come
up.
And that is that all of these dishes that you just told us about, notwithstanding, there also is, in the offing of that, you go in and you sit down and you wind up with a completely different expansion of your dinner that you weren't expecting at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a pleasure that it's one of those moments that you began the show by, is to bring up what was the phrase you had? You had a good one.
I don't know. I hope I have a few good ones.
We've been here a little while. Yeah.
it was just spectacular. Yeah. It hit all the right notes.
Yeah.
It really was great. And I didn't even tell you the price. You got all those options.
Yeah.
Okay. Think about it. Three in each category.
Uh-huh.
For $75.
That's the Revion menu.
That, for me, is perfection.
Sounds good to me.
If I'm going to spend $75 for all of those options, one in each category, please sign me up.
There it is.
You know, because a lot of these menus only have one in each category, and that's just a disappointment
for me. I've heard you say that before, and I think I might have heard you say it just yesterday.
Yeah.
I have hardly ever run into that. Now, it could be maybe because...
Maybe they haven't added all their stuff.
Maybe not.
Just started.
But other than that, I don't... And even that, I think their money amounts are just
nominal.
Fine.
Yeah. Nominal for what they're offering here. And my only other critique, because I know we're running into it, is I don't want the extra upcharges. Like, don't put on your menu, hey, you get this, but for $15 more, you can get foie gras.
There are certain things where, I remember a time when if you wanted blue cheese on your dressing, that was passé. But you never see that anymore. I can't remember the last time I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
And I think people are wise to that, and the people running the restaurants are also wise to it. So they leave it alone, and away you go.
Okay.
Do 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 do.
Well,
it's been
a. What are we going to take him out for 5 minutes? Yeah, what are we going to tell him, Tom? My brownies.
Well, your brownies.
My brownie recipe.
Yeah. Oh, we still haven't got to that.
Know.
Oh, I'm
We're
sorry.
We're going to hit it in 5 minutes.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Go.
Hey, everybody. It is National Brownie Day. If that doesn't fit into comfort food, I don't know what it is. If you are out there listening and you want the perfection, 100% on point brownie recipe, get your pencil out.
All right.
Here
fire
it
away.
Goes. 2 cups of sugar.
2 cups of sugar. Okay.
1 1/3 cup flour. 1/2 cup of cocoa. 1 teaspoon salt. 5 eggs.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Unique.
5 eggs. 1 cup of oil, vegetable oil preferred. 1 teaspoon vanilla extract. Dump all of this in a pan. Cover it with chocolate chips. Bake 350, 30 minutes.
450?
350.
350, okay.
350 for 30 minutes. And I guarantee you, on my honor, this is the best. This is the first restaurant that I ever worked at. It was a bakery, like delicatessen, in Winfield, Kansas, which is where I'm from. And this was the most moist but perfectly cooked, decadent brownie recipe. Simple, easy, dump it all in one pan, cover it with chocolate chips. I prefer Ghirardelli, honestly, or Ghirardelli, whichever it is. Is it Ghirardelli or
Ghirardelli? Ghirardelli.
Okay.
Is not. I've always mispronounced it.
It's the best recipe ever. Tom, how do you like yours? With caramel sauce, whipped cream, or a la mode?
A la mode. No, the one with the nuts on it. Did it was
like
there
caramel
one?
With nuts?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you like it like that?
Yeah.
I'm a whipped cream girl. Give me
all
the whipped cream.
It's easy enough to get.
So there it is, y'all. 2 cups of sugar, 1 1/3 cup flour, 1/2 cup of cocoa, 1 teaspoon salt, 5 eggs. That's where you're getting your moisture from. Mm-hmm. 1 cup of oil, 1 teaspoon vanilla extract, dump 1 cup of chocolate chips on top. Bam, as Emerald says. There's your chocolate chip brownie recipe.
Ta-da!
And here we are.
And here we are. And we have pretty much creeped up upon the finale for our program today.
How did two hours go by so fast with you?
Because one of us is brilliant.
I know who that is.
Huh?
It's you.
Me what?
You are the brilliant one.
Oh, no. Hey. Come on.
I hope everybody has a great weekend. Yeah. I do want to say 2 things real quick.
Okay.
Go Tigers and Houdat Nation this weekend. I hope that takes you in to what's going to be a spectacular football weekend. Tom, send us off.
WWL Radio, New Orleans, 105.3 FM HD2.
Good night, y'all.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice, hoping to hear from you and also... from our friend.
Our friends.
Annie.
Allie.
I cannot seem to remember her name.
Good night, y'all. We'll see you Monday.
And all will be well. Have a good weekend on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.